is we have been talking about relocation for our church, looking for a bigger building. And they had changed the zoning on this property several years ago, and we have been in contact with the city several times, and it was just a dead end. And it seemed like we would have to hire a lawyer and take legal action in order to build, and we didn't want to take that route. We would rather sell this building and look for a new building or land or build or whatever the case is. And recently, the Lord to be able to build here. And the scenario is that the city, the engineer in charge of the planning committee, is standing behind, the Lord worked it out, standing behind the church saying we should be allowed to build. We had submitted several drawings which gave indication that we wanted to build in the future. And so he says that they would stand behind us in getting what they call a minor variance to build. And so we are just in the pre-stages of this. We have looked at hiring an architect to give drawings of what a new auditorium would look like on the front of the property. And we have to submit those drawings to the city, and it has to go to a council and be voted upon. And so that is where we are right now. And of course, there's many more steps to be taken before we get to any part of building, but it is something to pray about as we continue to look at that avenue and that open door, and we will definitely keep you all in the loop as things progress. Let's again look at John chapter 12 and verse number 1 is where we'll be. John chapter 12, verse number 1. John chapter 1, verse number, John chapter 12, verse number 1. We're going to read several of these verses here. We'll read the 11 verses as we build our context here. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also. I'm sure that that would be a great draw, to see a man who was dead and now is alive, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. I think at this point Lazarus wasn't too afraid of death. I think he was a pro at this particular time. Verse 11, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. That was, by the way, the testimony of Lazarus. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to study your word together. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to learn and to grow and to draw closer to you. So Lord, I pray that you would teach us from your word. May your spirit direct us and guide us into all truth. I pray, Lord, that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray that your word would fall on good ground, that it would spring up and grow. I pray for Christians that we would move forward to spiritual maturity. I pray if there's an individual here that is not a Christian, I pray that they would truly, truly come to you for salvation. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd be glorifying in our responses to your word this morning. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived. The home that they were, that they attended, did not belong to Lazarus, according to Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. It was Simon the leper's home. And this wasn't just a dinner party that we're reading about here in John chapter 12. They were at Simon's home, and this, of course, speaks of the celebration of a changed life. This speaks of a celebration of God's work in their life. I mean, it was Simon the leper's house, and you don't have a dinner party with a man with leprosy. That just doesn't happen. His life was different now. His life was changed now. And so Simon was there. And the Bible also says in verse 2 here of our text that Lazarus was also a part of this party, this celebration of a changed life. And I mean, he was raised from the dead. And so there was much to be celebrated in this joyous occasion. And so, I mean, think about it. Simon was a dying man. Lazarus was a dead man. And I mean, you could imagine the conversations that would have happened around that table as they celebrate the work of Jesus in their life. I would also assume that the 12 disciples were present and sitting and listening to this wonderful conversation. And again, the conversations would have been just wonderful to hear their testimony. Simon probably would have said, I was made whole. I had leprosy and I was made whole. And Lazarus would have said, yeah, beat this though. I was in a hole. And Jesus rescued me and made me alive. And so Martha, according to her personality, I'm sure we have some Marthas here by personality. She's serving. And I mean, in verse number 2, she was such a practical woman, and she's serving this meal, and she's greatly involved, and Jesus is the honored guest at this particular time. And the Bible tells us here that Jesus was 6 days before he was going to the cross. And so time was short that Jesus would be going to the cross. The Bible says in verse 3 that Mary, she walks into the room and she approaches the Lord Jesus, and she breaks open an alabaster jar and she pours it over the head of the Lord Jesus. And then she falls to her knees to worship the Lord, and she pours what is left on the feet of Jesus, and then she begins to wipe the feet of Jesus with her hair. And the Bible says, according to our text, and I don't believe the Bible is filled with or has fillers. I believe every phrase, every word's important. And the Bible says that the fragrance of this perfume filled the room, and everyone understood and everyone knew what was happening. Now, unfortunately, tensions also filled the room. And there were people that did not agree with the response of Mary in this passage of Scripture. Judas, of course, is quick to rebuke her. But the Lord Jesus is quick to honor her. And we notice this in our text. Jesus blessed her gift and made sure that her selfless act would be remembered forever. Can we turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 14 and verse number 7? Mark chapter 14. And look what the Bible says here in verse number 7. Mark the 14th chapter, the 7th verse. The Bible says this. Mark chapter 14, verse 7. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now that's important as we go through this scripture. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. And so we see the Lord Jesus honors the faith of Mary. I want us to look at some thoughts here in the scripture. Number one, can we notice Mary's contribution? Mary's contribution. The Bible says in verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, first of all, I think there's some principles that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. First of all, I think it's important to know that Mary gave her best to the Lord. Mary gave her best to the Lord. One of my favorite stories, and I may have said it here before, as a woman was cleaning out her deep freezer. And you know how those chest deep freezers are? The first things you put in, they're never to be seen ever again. The only time you'll ever see those items is when you actually clean out the chest freezer. And so this woman was doing a cleaning, and she had taken out all the things from her chest freezer. And she noticed there that there was a butterball turkey, and she said in her mind that that butterball turkey had been there for 28 years, that it's been in her freezer. And so she called the butterball company to see if this thing was still safe to eat. And the customer service representative, you know, put her on hold to consult with some supervisors. And this took some time. And finally, they come back on the line and they said, "Ma'am, can you be sure that that turkey had been frozen for 28 years? And she said, "Yes, it has been frozen for 28 years. And it has never thawed. We never lost power. It has been frozen for 28 years. And so the customer service person says, "Well, then we believe that that turkey is safe to eat. But you should know that we cannot guarantee the quality of the meat. In other words, it's probably not going to taste very good." And the woman paused for a moment and she thought, and she said, "You know what? That's what I was thinking too. I'll just give it to my church." And oftentimes that's how God is treated in our lives. You know, we are thankful for all that God has given to us. And Mary was thankful for what God had given to her. Mary gave the Lord a pound of ointment of spikenard. Now, spikenard, the word there means pure, or it was that which the best money could buy. I mean, Mary gave her best. And in fact, the Bible, as its best commentary, tells us that this was very costly. It was very costly. 300 pence would have been the price of this perfume. It was seen in Bible days as a year's wage. I mean, an average person's wage at this particular time. I mean, you could imagine a bottle of this perfume that was given, and it was usually given at a time of death. It was used to anoint a body at the time of their death. And so here, this bottle of perfume worth a whole year's wage. I mean, let's look at some numbers here today. Let's say $50,000 to $60,000 would have been the worth of this in today's standards. And here it is being poured on the feet of Jesus. Now, what would your response have been at this particular time? Think of the costly sacrifice that was made by Mary. Perfume in Bible days was one of the most precious things to Eastern women. And Mary was taking her most precious possession, and she was giving it to the Lord. And so I say that we find the principle here that Mary gave her best that she possessed. But also I want to say this, that Jesus Christ gave his best for us. He gave his best for us. Let's look in our Bibles. Can we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 8? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse number 8. Look what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 8. Actually, let's read verse number 9 here. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. The Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." You see, we understand of the life of the Lord Jesus that he gave his life. He left the riches of heaven and he surrendered to death, God of heaven, who had never sinned, became our sin so that we can be the righteousness of God. And Jesus submitted to the very punishment and the wage of sin, which is death. He gave his best to us. But also, Jesus doesn't demand the best, but he sure does deserve the best. You know, there's a wonderful passage of scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and I'm not going to read the passage of scripture, but after David had sinned by numbering the people, God sent a plague across Israel. And when the prophet Gad came to David, he told him that the Lord wanted him to build an altar on the threshing floor of Arunah and the Jebusites so that the plague would be stopped. And so David immediately obeyed God's command. And he went to Arunah's property, and Arunah, seeing the king approach, respectfully bowed before him. And when he had learned that David wanted to buy his threshing floor to build an altar to the Lord, Arunah graciously offered to give to David the land. He offered to give to him the oxen for the sacrifice. He offered to give him even the wood for the sacrifice. And all of it was completely free. Arunah would not charge David, and he would not think of charging David. But the Bible says that David refused to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And this is what he says: I will not offer anything that cost me nothing. You see, God deserves our best. God deserves our commitment. He deserves our faithfulness today. He deserves our best. And we notice in our text here in John 12 that Mary gave because of her love. The love that Mary had for Jesus was great. Now, some have connected the dots to Mary and Martha and Simon, that they were all a part of the same family. I'm not sure about that, because Martha was serving in Simon's home. Some suggested that maybe that she was the wife of Simon, or maybe she was the older daughter of Simon. Whatever the case is, the reality is that Mary saw the power of Jesus in a life-changing way. Mary saw what Jesus could do in someone's life, and she was thankful for his work in her life as well as the life of those around her. And from a heart of love, she gave. You know, the greatest way that you can give to the Lord today is not out of a love of, you know, commitment as far as I feel like I have to do this. But the greatest way that you can give to the Lord is out of a heart of love. And Mary gave because of her love for God. You know, in the Bible, there's a strong connection between our love for God and our giving to God. Paul encouraged the church at Corinth to give to the hurting believers in Jerusalem out of a hurting, out of a sincerity of love from their heart. He says, to prove the sincerity of your love. And so Mary gave because of her love for God. She was faithful because of her love for God. Let's turn, if we could, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in our Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Look what the Bible says. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he, Jesus, died for all. And they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You say, well, Pastor Burns, I don't understand. The love of Christ constrains us. Is it Christ's love for me, or is it my love for Christ? And I would say yes. I would say the answer is yes. I would say we love him because he first loved us, the Bible says. And so the reality is, it is that love that compels us, and Mary gave because of that love. But also Mary's giving was seen. The Bible says in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Everyone in that room understood what was happening. Can I give you a great verse? Can we turn to Philippians chapter 4 and notice what the Bible says? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a giving church in Philippi. And they had given to the Apostle Paul, they had sacrificed for the Apostle Paul, and they had given out of a heart of love. And I want us to notice how God sees this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For even in Thessalonica, ye said once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift," Paul says, "but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Look at this. "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." You see, their sacrifice filled the room. And in the nostrils of our Savior, it was a wonderful aroma of love and faithfulness and obedience to God. And God could smell it, and God enjoyed it. The Bible says it was well pleasing to our Lord. Secondly, can we notice not only Mary's commitment and her love toward the Lord, but can we notice Mary's critics as well? The Bible says in verse number 4 of our text, "Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said. Now, again, the Bible is the greatest commentary, and God obviously knows the hearts of each and every individual. And the Bible says not that he cared for the poor, he didn't care about the poor, but because he wanted the money to go into the treasury because he was a thief, and he wanted it all for himself, it says in verse number 6. And the Bible says, "Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this." We see the critic in this passage of Scripture, and his name was Judas. And the Bible says that he was Simon's son. Now, we notice that Judas followed Jesus, but Judas also criticized other believers. He was a professing disciple, but he did not possess the love of Christ in his heart. And he criticized those who wanted to serve the Lord. He criticized those who had a heart to sacrifice for the Lord. And we see in Judas's heart a realization that he was not a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. Judas expressed concern for the ministry, but he had a concealed motive. He was a thief, and all he cared about was himself. He didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about other people. All he cared about was himself. And so we could say that he was a selfish individual. He was a selfish individual. Judas worked for Jesus. He was a disciple as far as position, but Judas did not love Jesus. And so there's a separation there, right, of someone who loves the Lord and genuinely wants to serve and be faithful to the Lord, and someone who plays the part and doesn't have a true love for the Lord, but just kind of goes through the motions. And Judas Iscariot. Now, I don't want to read into Scripture, but many Bible teachers believe that Simon the leper was the father of Judas. And the Bible says in John 12, verse 4, "Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." In John 6, verse 69, the Bible says, "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And answered him, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." I mean, strong language from the Savior. "And he spake," verse 71 of John 6, "and he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." And so in verse number, in Luke chapter 7, the Bible says that Simon was a Pharisee, and some suggest that that is how Judas found connection with the Pharisees when he plotted to kill Jesus. I mean, again, this is all, we don't have the direct connection to this. We don't know if all this is true, but the reality is Judas had heard and seen the greatness of the Lord Jesus. And I can't imagine how hard this man's heart must have been to see all of the greatness of God on display and yet still reject the Savior. I hope today that you don't have a cold heart toward the work of the Lord Jesus. And so we see Mary's critics in this text. But I want us to notice lastly, and I'll be done, can we notice Mary's Christ? Look what the Bible says in verse number 4 of our text. It's John chapter 12. The Bible says, "Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, 'Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?' This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus," verse number 7 now, "'Let her alone,'" leave her alone, Judas, "'against the day of my burying has she kept this.'" Now you say, what is Jesus saying? Well, as you understand in the ministry of Jesus, many times Jesus said that he was going to die. Many times Jesus said that he was going to go to a cross, that he would be submitting to death. And so Mary believed that. Mary believed that one day that Jesus, by faith, that he was going to die. And so she had bought this costly ointment to be used to anoint the body of Jesus. When that day came, she was prepared because she believed the words of Jesus. And so let's try to see this from the perspective of Mary for just a moment. And let's try to understand how Mary saw this situation. She had listened to Jesus. She had sat at his feet. Remember when Martha was busy getting everything ready and Mary was at the feet of Jesus and Martha was upset. She was stressed by all of this labor. And Jesus said, "No, Mary has chosen the best thing. And that is to listen and to be taught." And so she had listened to Jesus. She had heard him talk about his death. She had heard him talk about his burial. And so she thought and realized that one day the Lord was going to die. And so at some point in preparation for that death, she had bought this rare and costly spice and hid it away. She believed out of a heart of love that Jesus, even in his death, deserved the very best. And so that is what she did. She bought the very best for the Lord. And then came this event that her brother died. You know his name, Lazarus. He's sitting at the same table here with Simon, who was the leper. And Lazarus had died suddenly and unexpectedly. And spices were probably needed for his burial. Maybe Mary had been tempted to lavish her treasure on her brother's remains, but no, she had kept it for Jesus. And then something incredible happened. Jesus showed up late. Lazarus was dead. But then Jesus said to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus walked out of that tomb. And I think something clicked in the mind of Mary. I think faith, she realized that yes, Jesus was going to die. But I think she also realized that, wait a minute, he's going to live again. If he can resurrect my brother Lazarus, and if he is, as he says, the resurrection and the life, then he himself would live again. And she thought in her mind, well, why am I going to hold on to this spikenard, this costly ointment, if Jesus was going to die, but he was not going to stay in a grave, that he was going to live again? And so She comes to Jesus with this expensive ointment, this perfume, and there she offers it to the Lord as a sacrifice out of a love while he was alive. You know, I think of the old saying that someone said, do your giving while you're living, so then you're knowing where it's going. And Mary said, listen, I'm going to give this to Jesus while he's alive. He's going to die, but by faith she believed that he was going to live again. And so by faith and the demonstration of her faith, she anoints the Lord Jesus with this very costly perfume out of a heart of love. And I say to you this morning, Christian friends, God help us today to give to the Lord while we have opportunity. Not to give to him what is left, but to give to him what is best. A poor widow had only a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And just enough. She had just enough to make one last meal for herself and for her son before they both died of hunger. And yet God sent to her the prophet Elijah, who asked her to bake a cake for him first. And she chose to obey and give what little she had to the Lord, trusting him that God would provide. And rather than clinging to her small supply, she surrendered it to the Lord, believing that God could do more than what she could ever do. She gave her best to the Lord. She gave all that she had to the Lord. And in the same way, when we give our very best to the Lord, when we give what we have to the Lord, we are giving by faith, just like Mary, giving by faith, believing that Jesus was going to live again. She gave by faith, trusting the Lord. I hope today that you're a Christian. And if you are not a Christian, I pray today that you would come to Jesus for salvation. I hope and pray today you have not hardened your heart to the truth. And I hope today if you are a Christian, then you will first of all give yourselves to the Lord. I pray that in your giving and your being willing to give, I pray it would be out of a heart of love. And I know this, when you do so, the fragrance will fill the room. And God will know it, and God will smell it, and it will be acceptable to him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to study.